ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
said, I'm going to give you that knowledge by which you will be able to cut the all affinity for material existence, the knot of attachment to the material world. So now he's delivering right away, right now, to speaking about the Supreme Lord. So it's transcendental knowledge cuts this knot of material attachment. So there's material attachment doesn't discern the difference between matter and spirit, the controller of both. Kapila Dev does, and when he hears this chapter properly, we get a lot of, besides like a lot of information, we get a lot of, if it's heard properly, a lot of relief from material existence. So how to understand Krishna properly? Anadir Atma Purusha. He's the Supreme Person who's beginning this. And all other persons have their beginning from him. This is the definition found in all Vedic literature. Next paragraph. The Lord is described as the soul or spirit. What is the definition of spirit? Here's his definition. Spirit is perceivable everywhere. Brahma means great. His greatness is perceived everywhere. And what is that greatness? Consciousness. We have personal experience of consciousness, for it is spread all over the body. In every hair follicle of our body, we can feel consciousness. This is individual consciousness. Brahman in that sense. Similarly, there is super consciousness. The example can be given of a small light and the sunlight. The sunlight is perceived everywhere, even within the room or in the sky, but the small light is experienced within a specific limit. Similarly, our consciousness is perceived within the limit of our particular body, but the superconsciousness or the existence of God is perceived everywhere. He is present everywhere by his energy. It is stated in the Vishnu Purana that whatever we find, anywhere and everywhere, is the distribution of the energy of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also confirmed that the Lord is all-pervading and exists everywhere by his two kinds of energy, one spiritual and the other material. Both the spiritual and material energies are spread everywhere. And that is the proof of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End of paragraph. So would you like the proof of the existence of God? We just read it. Because there's another almost two pages, and not going to expect you to retain. So we'll just cover this and go a little further. So after establishing he's beginningless, he's a beginningless person, and there is no such beginningless person within our experience. Person, you know, in terms of an embodied person. Just thinking when we were at the graveyard, the crematorium, and probably lots of other beings that weren't embodied. Otherwise, the being is that we know of very body. And even the subtle body is a body. It's a subtle body. This is Samkhya. Kundalini asked yesterday, was the 24? So 5, 5, 5, and 3, and 1. 5 grows. So the ignorance is so thick, so it's like, no, 20 of them are all under ignorance.
Just thinking this morning.
5 gross elements, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 working senses, 5 objects of the senses, all under the category of ignorance. Then there's some subtle things going on too. Mind intelligence and false ego, that's a subtle level. So 20 against 3. There's a lot of ignorance. But even in the subtle realm, mind, intelligence, false ego, it's still covering. It's not the 25th element or spirit. And Krishna is the Supreme Spirit who has no beginning. From Him all energies are coming. That was the first paragraph. Now there's consciousness. Consciousness isn't, he's going to say it coming up 3 times. Consciousness is not a product of matter. It's clear from Bhagavad Gita and the whole Vedic teaching. Consciousness is not a product of matter. You can't put matter together and mix it, stir it in a blender or whatever combination, however you put it together, and get consciousness out. It's not going to happen. Due to ignorance, the most brilliant people on the planet today, scientists-wise, have a different idea. Consciousness is but a product of matter. Well, it's not a product of matter. From Samkhya, that's like where the whole of this chapter, the whole of all this technical thing that's going to be coming up, is pointing to. It's the details of matter, and you push and pull of matter, and you get different manifestations of things. Behind that is consciousness. What's the push and pull coming from? So the example is given in this paragraph is the soul is within the body. This consciousness from the soul spreads throughout the body. And we can experience. He's saying in every hair follicle of your body. So even if you don't touch your skin, you just like, anyway, move the hairs on your body by waving your arm. Or by waving your hand, and then you feel there's sensation, there's consciousness spreading throughout the body. What is that? Consciousness. So he's indicating it as Brahman. Brahman, so Brahman means great, quote unquote. Brahman means great. So, great is different than matter, gross and subtle. The presence of consciousness may be detected by the knowledge acquiring senses, and that information may then be registered within the mind and analyzed with intelligence. Wrongly identified with by the false ego, but that's still not consciousness. What's consciousness? That's spirit. And what's the Supreme Spirit? He's consciousness that's spread everywhere. That's what this term pratyagdhamma means. Pratyagdhamma, perceivable everywhere. Pratyagdhamma, He is perceivable everywhere in the form of that beginningless person who exists everywhere. Now we don't have the experience of beginningless persons, nor do we have the experience of persons that exist everywhere. We don't have that experience. You know, some of us are assembled in the room, and some we're not simultaneously out of the room. We're either here or not here, but we're not simultaneously here and not here. But Krishna is. He's super consciousness spread everywhere. That's Krishna. And how does he do it? Well, he has inconceivable potencies. How it's written here is he's present everywhere by his energy. This Brahman, which means great, which in our case is spread everywhere in the form of consciousness, he is Svayam Jyotir. Pragyapama Svayam Jyotir. Svayam Jyotir. Jyoti means light, and Svayam means it's coming from himself. In this purport, Prabhupada five times speaks about Svayam Jyoti, and it's connected to what is Brahman. What is Brahman? It's the Jyoti of the body of the personality of Godhead. That's what Brahman is. And Brahman is conscious. Brahman is great, and Brahman is conscious. And that presence of this Jyoti, Svayam Jyoti, everywhere, is like, well, the soul is within the body, consciousness is spread everywhere. There's a mechanism for it, but consciousness is spread throughout the body, although it's one little speck, infinitesimal spark of life. But that infinitesimal spark comes from the big fire, Parabrahma. And Parabrahma, so here's, it is stated in the Vishnu Purana that whatever we find anywhere and everywhere is the distribution of the energy of the Supreme Lord. So there's the matter distribution, you know, the eight separated elements, energies, or in the Sankhya system, 24 of them. So here's the question. Which system is right or better? Because Bhagavad Gita has, there's eight. And this chapter we're going to hear is 24. So that makes the 24 better. It's just a different system, a different way of describing the same thing. Just like, this is a very practical example. This is an example that Prabhupada gave. If you have a road map, it's flat. You know, it shows latitude and longitude in like horizontal and perpendicular right angle lines. That's one way to get from point A to point B by a road map, whatever you call those things. But then supposing you have a globe, then it's not right angle, latitude, longitude. It's at angles. It's like a trapezoid, the latitude, longitude. But it can get you from point A to point B, so it's also map. It's three dimensional rather than two dimensional. And then similarly, you can have other ways of mapping to get from point A to point B. As long as it gets you accurately, it gets you from point A to point B, it's a good map. So, to describe what this material world is, it's the eight separated elements, or it's the 24 elements. Different ways of looking at it. The important thing of both is that immediately after identifying the 24 or the eight, then that which is not material is identified. Aparayana jyotirnam prakritim vidhi me param. para, nirguna prakriti para. This Supreme Person has prakriti para, he has spiritual energy. He also has inferior energy, but he has spiritual energy, and that spiritual energy is Brahman, and is Jyoti. Because Jyoti is conscious of the living entity, is a spark of that, and is conscious. And that's power. A little, Prabhupada described it like this, a little spark that can enter in within the body of a mosquito and make the mosquito go in an instant up and down, forwards and back, left and right, and also move it to the body of an elephant. And aside from the design of the machine, Prabhupada devised the scientists that make one mosquito. You can make a helicopter, so make a mosquito that can fly this way, this way, this way, and can reproduce itself. Go ahead, make a mosquito. It won't happen from material elements. You may even make a mosquito body, but it can't go up in without the spark of life. Move. What speaker reproduce? Make another mosquito. Because consciousness is required, however sophisticated the design is. But how powerful is the soul that it can animate the body of an elephant? How small is the soul that can animate the body of an elephant? What to speak of the Supreme Soul? Whose energies are spread everywhere, both material and spiritual. Thus he is present everywhere by his energy, and his energy, at least the spiritual energy, Brahman, is conscious. His consciousness is spread everywhere. And he didn't have to do anything. He just exists. His consciousness is spread everywhere. And his energies do everything. He's fully conscious of. In Bhagavad Gita also has confirmed that the Lord is all-pervading and exists everywhere. It has two kinds of energy, one spiritual and the other material. Both the spiritual and material energies are spread everywhere, as is said in reverse. And that is the proof of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next paragraph is like a lawyer building his case. The first paragraph was the Lord is beginningless, then his presence everywhere by consciousness. Then the third one is the existence of consciousness everywhere is not temporary. A beginningless person who is consciousness, and that consciousness has no beginning. The existence of consciousness everywhere is not temporary. It is without beginning, and because it is without beginning, it is also without end. So here he goes. The theory that consciousness develops at a certain stage of material combination, it is not accepted. For the consciousness which exists everywhere is said to be without beginning. First word. The materialistic or atheistic theory stating that there is no soul and that there is no God and that consciousness is the result of a combination of matter is not acceptable. It's mine. Matter is not beginningless. It has a beginning. As this material body has a beginning, the universal body does also. As our material body has begun on the basis of our soul, the gigantic universal body has begun on the basis of the Supreme Soul, the Vedanta Sutra says. Janmadyasya, the entire material exhibition, its creation, growth, maintenance, dissolution, is an emanation from the Supreme Person. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am the beginning, source of birth of everything. So far, halfway done, we have consciousness that's all-pervading and is beginningless and is resting upon a beginningless person, just as consciousness is resting upon the soul and this body. Brahman, the jyoti, or the presence of consciousness throughout the universe, the supreme consciousness, is also a beginningless person. Next paragraph. A lot here about Swayam Jyoti. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. He is not a temporary person, nor does he have a beginning. He is without a cause, and he is the cause of all causes. Para means transcendental. So this is the para-prakriti phrase here. Para-prakriti. Para means transcendental, or, quote, beyond the creative energy. What's the creative energy? What's the creative energy? This place. The energy itself, this like cosmos, is creative energy. It doesn't create on its own, but it's creative energy. And he is beyond it. Param. Param Prakriti. The Lord is the creator of the creative energy. We can see that there is a creative energy in this material world, but he is not under this energy. He is Prakriti Para. Beyond this energy, he is not subjected to the threefold miseries created by the material energy, because he is beyond it. The modes of the material nature do not touch him. That's so the phrase, Nirguna. Nirguna Prakriti Para. And then Swayam Jyoti. Here we go. It is explained here. Swayam Jyoti, he is light himself. We have experience in the material world of one light being a reflection of another, just as moonlight is a reflection of the sunlight. Similarly, sunlight is also the reflection of the Brahma Jyoti. Similarly, the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual effulgence, is a reflection of the body of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Yasya prapa prapavata. Yasya, from whom or his, prapa prapavata. The Brahma Jyoti is his reflection of his body, is the effulgence of his body. And the sunlight is a reflection of that, and the moonlight is a reflection of that. And you know, these light bulbs, it's just the energy, electrical energy, is just stored energy of the sun now illuminating again. It's just a transformation of the sun's energy, which is a reflection of the Brahma Jyoti, which is a reflection of the rays of the body, Prabhavato. The Brahma Jyoti, or Brahma effulgence, is due to his bodily luster. Therefore, it is said here, fourth time, Swayam Jyoti, he is light himself. He's going to say it again. His light is distributed in different ways, as the Brahmajyoti, as sunlight and as moonlight and as electricity from Bhagavad Gita. But we know from Bhagavad Gita there's no need sunlight, moonlight, or electricity, artificial light. But it's also light. No need light. Swayam Jyoti. Everything's self-effulgent. Bhagavad Gita confirms that in the spiritual world, here it is, there's no need of sunlight, moonlight, or electricity. The Upanishads also confirm this. Because the bodily luster of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sufficient to illuminate the spiritual world, there's no need of sunlight, moonlight, or any other light, or electricity. Self-illumination also contradicts the theory that the spirit soul or spiritual consciousness develops at a certain point in material combination. Notice that Prabhupada is saying second time. He's saying several things repeatedly. This is one of them. Consciousness is not a product of matter is one of the things that he's saying. And he's doing it in reverse by scriptural authority. This light is not coming from something else. This consciousness, which is Brahman is conscious, is not coming from some other source. It's not a product of matter. It's above matter, para prakriti. It's consciousness. It's not a product of matter. Therefore, the term Swayam Jyoti, here we are again, Swayam Jyoti, indicates that there is no tinge of anything material or any material reaction in Bhagavad Gita chapter 13. Chapter 13 has six questions. Or is it? I mean, six topics that Arjuna wants to hear about. He wants to hear about knowledge and the object of knowledge, the field of activity and the knower of the field of activity. So the field of activity, then there's the knower of the field of activity, but the field of activity is the elements. It's just another statement of Samkhya philosophy that's going on right here. There is these elements, and then there's feelings that's mentioned. And feelings are said to be but a combination of the elements. It's like mind. So when you think about it, feel about something, that's not you. It's dikarams. It's a transformation and combination. Prabhupada uses the phrase permutations and combinations. But in this, the literal translation given is transformations, combinations and transformations. You know, you put this together with that, you got another something. So we're going to hear in this chapter how the elements unfold as transformations of matter. And theoretical physics gets into deformation of matter and giving it different names. Consciousness is different, is the main point that Prabhupada is driving home. Swayam Jyoti, Swayam Jyoti, Swayam, it's not coming by material combination. It's independent. Krishna is independent, and the soul being part of Krishna is independent, also part of Prakriti. Consciousness is not material combination. By touch of Brahman, it appears that there's life. When Brahman leaves that circumstance, there's no longer life. I was just listening yesterday, Prabhupada was giving this example. just like an automobile. So the driver gets in the automobile, and the automobile moves. The driver gets out of the automobile, and it stops. It's not that the automobile is alive. The automobile is dead. It's matter. By the presence of Atma, it can move. Similarly, Prabhupada was making a statement, the body is dead. It's already dead. Even when it's born, it's dead. It's just matter. It's only the presence of the soul that makes it appear to be alive or animated. But because we're under the influence of the mode of ignorance, we're thinking life and death. But it's not life and death, it's death. And Brahman is life. That's reality. And when the reality is understood, material affinity is taken away. And the influence of the modes of nature, the inclination to engage in fruitive activity and thus further entangle oneself in illusion, chasing after illusion, which is what material life is. It's detachment from illusion and being situated in Svayamjyoti, transcendental and enlightenment. That's where Kapila Dev wants to take his mother, to that position. And she wants to know. Concluding remarks. It is confirmed here that the concept of the Lord's all-pervasiveness is due to his illumination everywhere. So I'm joking once again. We have experience that the sun is situated in one place, but the sun light is diffused all around for millions and millions of miles. That is our practical experience. Similarly, although the supreme light is situated in his personal abode, Vaikuntha, or Vrindavan, his light is diffused not only in the spiritual world, but beyond that. In the material world also, that light is reflected by the sun globe, and the sun light is reflected by the moon globe. Thus, although he is situated in his own abode, his light is distributed all over the spiritual and material worlds. The Brahma Samhita confirms this. 537, Goloka Eva, Ibisati Galatma Bhutava. He is living in Goloka, but still he is present all over the creation. He is the supreme soul, super soul of everything, the supreme personality of God, and he has innumerable transcendental qualities. It is also concluded that, although he is undoubtedly a person, he is not a Purusha, a person of this material world. Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand that beyond this material world there can be a person. Therefore, they are impersonalists. Final sentence. But it is explained very nicely here that the Supreme Personality of God is beyond material existence. And just invoking once again the previous declarations that by this understanding, by understanding God, we can understand his energies properly. By not understanding God, one is deluded by his energies very nicely. There's a deluding potency. But that deluding potency doesn't act as it does on the conditioned soul. It doesn't act on the enlightened soul. It just doesn't act like that. And so the conditioned soul can't understand the enlightened soul. They can't understand that there's something wrong with them. They're not normal. They're not productive in society. Adding value to the gross national product. They're just not. So, something wrong. But the transcendental teachings of Kapila
spiritual atonement exists in the spiritual world.
Say again.
Well, spiritual atomic particles exist in the spiritual world.
Why not? They're everywhere. Declare directly above the earth. Sarva katha. Everywhere. Alright. Can you speak a little louder? Speak a little louder.
When you said that the scientists are still trying to find spirit coming from matter, can you explain what that God particle is that they're looking for?
Well, they're not looking for a particle. They're not looking for that. They're looking for how combinations of matter create what y'all call consciousness. Because there ain't no particle. All there is combinations of matter creating that thing which y'all call consciousness. There isn't anything else. They're not looking for that. There aren't that answers your question. Alright, that addresses your question.
Thank you, Maharaj. I wanted to know a little bit on the very last thing we discussed about the looting potency of the Lord.
About the which?
The looting potency.
The looting potency.
The Lord, so it gives us an understanding in the mighty person when we're looted. So after we get information about what he's in Bhagavatam, we are able to intellectually capture something, I'm not the body and so on.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking a particular hand with her, we may engage in outreach programs to enlighten people, but the influence of the looting potency is still on us because we've only intellectually captured it, we haven't actually realized it.
Okay.
So when we engage in, particularly in preaching activities without having deeply,
realized.
Yeah, realized it. Then the looting potency may still be acting on us, and then we spreading the misconceptions.
No, you're not spreading misconceptions. You're just not able to bring light into that dark place sufficiently. But then even with that, there's no guarantee that for you to bring light into the dark place, they'd open their eyes. So the effort of outreach where you haven't yet fully realized is as much for your purification as for theirs. Because the message is not less. How it will be effectively transmitted may be less, but the message is not less. Provided we're simply repeating. And that's what, the Prabhupada would use the word preaching, the politically correct term these days is outreach. So when we're carrying that message, it's not diminished because we're not realized. We're not spreading misconceptions. We're trying to purify ourselves, like being postal peons of the message writer, Krishna.
Is it possible to, without having fully realized that when we engage in outreach, is it possible to acquire some misconception and then come?
Is it possible to acquire
misconception?
Sure. Sure. You just change the message. You know, it's not that, you know, we might. It's a certainty that we will, you know, adopt other messages that we've left shelter, not in the position of shelter taking, actively shelter taking. Messages will be other.
Question. When it seems
going back to your earlier question. question of self-delusion, yes. Misconceptions.
This is the final one, after the perception part. It seems that one of the tricks of the divine potency is to make one thing that they still are taking shelter, even when they're not.
Well, that's a subtle one.
Extremely subtle one, it seems. So how do we protect ourselves from that? I feel that I am taking shelter, but I'm actually being
compulsive. Well, the answer to that one is the Krishna factor. Krishna sees our sincerity. And if we're deluding ourselves, Krishna will, you know, slap us in the side of the head. Oh, thank you. Subtle stage is also Krishna personally intervening.